This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Danny Parkins.
We have one soap opera expert and star on the show. Yeah. We have Rock Hudson of Guiding Light on the show. So, yeah.
Well, it's actually Rock Hoover, but
Rock,
you know,
Hoover.
Me, Rock Hudson.
Who is Rock Hudson?
Rock Hudson passed away many years ago.
Yes, many years ago.
Co-host of Breakfast Ball on Fox Sports 1.
Danny's Cubs beat the MLB Best Padres last night in extra innings, thanks to Nico Horner's triple. So, Danny, does the hot start make you think maybe the Cubs are contenders?
Oh, been thinking it stink. That's my guy, Nico Horner, right there. Let's go, Cubby.
He abandoned us.
We've got Craig Counsell joining us.
What do you think of Breakfast Ball? 8 a.m. Eastern time on Fox Sports with our boy Danny Parkins. Yeah, any review?
You know, Danny was great on the radio.
Danny Parkins with Spiegel and Holmes.
That is the story of the game. So I'm with my Slim Reaper friend over here.
On 670 The Score.
Danny Parkins now joining us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. Danny, we did not disturb bath time, right? I feel like this is a little earlier than the last time that you were on the show, and that was probably closer to bath time, maybe?
Anytime is bath time, Lawrence. You never know. Sometimes you need a bath right away when you get off of work later in the day. Maybe I'll take a bath at the end of this. I don't know. Baths are lovely.
Do you have, is there somebody on staff at Fox who comes and takes care of the bath? Some sponge cleaning, perhaps?
No. No, okay. That's the one thing I still have to do for myself. I still have to wash myself. I have to put the Epsom salt in the tub by myself.
That ain't right. Lawrence, I'm remembering when he got sick in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And, that was great.
Oh, and they sent him.
It was fun.
Like all of a sudden the Fox ER doc shows up with an IV in his hotel room.
I kind of knew that things are different on the national level, but that really gives you an idea. Yeah. Of how differently things are. Like, you'll just come in here hacking up a lung. Danny
oh, yeah, he will. Those are fun days.
Yeah.
Danny
was taken care of. Like, Mr. Parkins, do you need anything from the pharmacy? As a matter of fact, here's a doctor with your script. Let's get it.
Let me just say, I noticed that you two, as Spiegel partners, just had a bonding moment about something that annoyed you about me, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it one little
surprise,
bit.
Surprise, surprise.
I actually have a top 10 list prepared.
And he sent it to me when I got the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's just been texting me back, check on item 7. a classic. 2 happened today. Yeah. Exactly.
You guys have a shorthand of Spiegel annoyances.
Common things that happen. But you know, it was funny at the Super Bowl too, because Mitch was there and we were supposed to meet up and I was vomiting, so I couldn't. And he said, "Would you like any soup?" Like, he was willing to find me a cup of soup. But Fox sent a doctor and brought me IV bags that were earmarked for the Philadelphia Eagles. I was like, yeah, keep your Jewish penicillin, Mitch. I don't need it.
God.
I don't need
it. So that's the best we have, is that Mitch will get a soup from time to time.
I miss it. I miss it greatly. Yeah, but there are some perks, I will say.
If Danny were here, the soup would have been ideal. He's
That's
not
true.
Here. Right. He was at the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And had to get his ass back on the air. And so they did whatever they needed to do to get him back on the air.
But you're going
to
be back here. You're going to be the Radiothon, the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon is returning, as is Danny, with appearances on this show leading up to it. Very cool. Tell people what we're getting on the 31st of July.
Yeah, good booking by Alex Kuhn, by the way. He got me on. That was a good job by him.
He's got skills.
Yeah, he's very good. Cute blue headphones, Alex, by the way. I like it. Let's see.
Thanks, Danny.
No problem. they look very good. They're child's headphones. The fact that the Radiothon gets to continue, second annual Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, it'll be the third Radiothon, obviously, that we've done, is an amazing thing. It's in my Fox deal. It was one of the things that I talked about. First thing I talked about with Mitch and Kevin Cassidy when I let them know about the Fox job. They wanted it to continue. The Cubs wanted it to continue. Obviously, in honor of my brother Brad and my work with Brain Up, I'm highly motivated to continue it. And it's amazing that we're able to do it. I mean, if you think about it, with Austin Harvest, which is up and running and crushing it in Austin with, you know, the vast majority of that original class of kids in college right now and as freshmen, which is unbelievable. And then, you know, the Radiothon last year, $560,000, it 100% donated to cancer research. In two Radiothons, we're over $1.2 million raised. And so, you know, this year we'll see what number we can post. And, you know, the Cubs got it just over $1 million last year, 100% to cancer research with the partners at Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up. And, you know, we'll talk about it more as it gets closer. But, you know, like what I always say is, like, you know, my DMs are open. People can email me. People can tweet at me. If you want to get involved as just like a individual of means or a company, sponsorships, you know, dollar for dollar matches for an hour. Like, it's a day where the radio station kind of gets turned over to give back to the community in a beautiful way. So please hit me up if you want to get involved, and we can make it happen, and we can make it beneficial for your company and for a great cause.
I got to say, I always think of, when the Radiothon comes up, I think, Lawrence, of the moment at the end of the very first Radiothon. As Danny
I hate that moment for Danny.
Oh, he's walking triumphantly but exhaustedly from the studio to anywhere. Like, I don't think he cared where he was going.
He was That's going right. to bed or going to get something
right.
to eat.
Yeah, something.
That's right.
And Mitch Rosen met him with a sweet idea, but kind of a loud and startling execution.
Whoa! That'll wake me up. Jesus Christ. That's congratulations.
For those, that's where the congratulations comes from. Two, like, violent,
right,
explosive.
There in the hallway, like right next to Danny's ear. He couldn't. How long was it before that ear started functioning again?
I definitely still felt it the next day. People like, you know, you stay up for 24 straight hours, and you really, with the address, it's like 30 straight hours, you know, because it starts at 10 in the morning. That was the lasting ramifications of that radio line. And it's the second one. You know, they always say it's the second confetti popper that'll get you. The first one was at a safe distance, but he felt the need to do that second one as I was walking close.
Whoa!
It's this one here.
That'll wake me up.
There we go.
That's the one. That's the one that got
That's congratulations.
Yeah.
They always say the second confetti popper will get you. Was that Aristotle? Aristotle?
I believe so. I think I learned that when I was interning for Mac. I think it's one of the original rules of radio. It's a dangerous business. The second confetti popper will get you. But no, seriously, it's very cool. Cubs are involved in a big way again, obviously, and we'll have more details as it gets closer. But July 31st to August 1st, and I'm pumped to be coming back on with you guys with some degree of regularity. That's going to be fun.
Well, let's get to the draft, because I know that on Breakfast Ball, you've had a couple of minutes to get to the Bears and what they've done. For the folks here that care about your opinion on the Bears, how did you think they did?
Yeah, you know, I think that draft analysis is funny because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of experts in it. It's a cottage industry. And if a guy is the 15th ranked player and you draft him 10th, you overdrafted him. And if the guy's the 15th ranked player and you drafted him 20th, you got a steal. But clearly the NFL general managers don't agree with the mock drafters. Case in point, Shedeur Sanders. So, you know, grades are ridiculous. I think what I said about the Colston Loveland pick is what the majority of people, I assume, said is that's a Ben Johnson pick. There was no first round pick that was more directly influenced by the head coach than that pick in the first round. Like, the Chiefs drafting Josh Simmons was a four-need pick. They had four guys play left tackle. They drafted a left tackle to protect Patrick Mahomes. But, like, that was a coach pick. And if you love Ben Johnson, and I don't know how any Bears fan could be out on him at this point, I think you have to love the pick. And as good as Ashton Jeanty seems, it's one thing to draft a running back in the top 10. Some of them have been successful. Some of them haven't been. And I was afraid of it simply for, like, are the Bears ready for it? To me, that's a icing on the cake type of thing. That's not a as you're building type of thing. But I would have trusted Ben Johnson if he did it. But trading up for a running back at that point of the draft, that only turns out poorly. Like, that's I can't think of a trade into the top five for a running back that's aged well. Basically, it's never happened. Trent Richardson's the only one, and that was a disaster. So it's just trading into the top five for a non-premium position almost exclusively in NFL history is a bad idea. There are a few exceptions. You know, like Julio Jones is an exception. But, like, you want to trade up. Will Anderson for the Texans is an exception. But I think put that in a totally different bucket because they had also drafted C.J. Stroud in the same draft, right? So, like, they were getting quarterback on a rookie deal and edge rusher on a rookie deal. But, like, I just never bought that they would trade up for a running back, even though it would have been wildly exciting. So I know that's only the first round and you asked about the whole draft, but that was my main takeaway, was they would have taken Jeanty if he fell. Because he didn't, they wanted to go blue chip offensive upside for a guy who fit with Ben Johnson.
We're in the exact same place on this, Danny, because when I heard people talking about it draft morning, I'm like, that sounds silly to do. If he's there, then you do it. And you go, hey, this guy could be exciting. But the idea of giving away capital for that move to me would have been a kind of a nightmare scenario. I'd have been like, what are they doing up there?
Well, think about how good he would have to be.
Yes.
To justify it. You're basically saying, like, Alvin Kamara is the floor. You know, like, he has to be, like, Bijan Robinson would be a disappointment if he became that. And
I would argue that Bijan Robinson is a disappointment for a top 10 draft pick.
Right. Well, but he's also very clearly good.
Sure.
But they weren't ready to use a top 10 pick
right
on a running back. Like, Saquon Barkley was not disappointing as a Giant. He was awesome as a Giant. Then he got hurt. It was being the second overall pick that made it a bad pick, right? And then obviously injury played a part in it. But, like, nobody doubted that Saquon Barkley was awesome. And then he goes to Philly, and he has arguably the best running back season ever. So
no, you're right. The context of it, it changes the way we perceive it, for sure. Look, it was absolutely a Ben pick. The whole draft was kind of a Ben draft. But that's the way it's supposed to be. How many times did we hang out and talk on Parkins and Spiegel or Spiegel and Parkins? And we've talked about it so much here on Spiegel and Holmes about the Bears needing to have a head coach that they allowed to be the philosophical godhead of the organization. And they were afraid to do it. For decades, they were afraid to do it. They're no longer afraid to do it. This is Ben's organization, and that is sensible in terms of the way the NFL should be run right now.
Yeah, I think if you hire him and you pay him, you have to empower him. And it's not, I mean, the council has more power than Jed right now. He makes more money. But, you know, Ben Johnson has more power than Ryan Poles. He makes more money. And so I think that you can't be out on Ben Johnson yet. He hasn't coached a game. You know, the Luther Burden pick is fascinating, too. He's unbelievably talented. But he had some quit in his game at Missouri last year. And whether that was because they had a disappointing season and they had bad quarterback play and they thought they were going to be a playoff team and they weren't, and he was focused on the draft. Like, he is a first-round talent. I had someone with Missouri football tell me that he is the best recruit in the history of Missouri football. And
wow.
In terms of, yeah, exactly. Like, and that's Chase Daniel, Jeremy Maclin, Alden Smith, Doriel Green Beckham. Like, you know, they have gotten some real, real players to go there. And they say that when they got him, he was the biggest deal for that program in terms of the caliber of the player that they were getting. And with the ball in his hands, he's crazy explosive. That is a very high upside pick, which I love. Like swing for the fences, try to hit the home run, all of those sorts of analogies. And so Antoine Randall, like, that's your project. He can't be an 80% guy. Like, if he gives max effort and is fully bought in and you turn him into a professional football player, just not a guy who plays pro sports, but a true professional, he could be the steal of the draft. He's that talented. That's at least how it was described to me.
Danny, how are you enjoying Cubs season?
Casually. Oh, it's so great. Oh my God, is it awesome.
Wait a minute. That sounds like a guy not watching the games and knows he doesn't have to and he's allowed to and enjoying highlights every once in a while. That's daily. What casually sounded like.
Daily highlights. Oh. Daily highlights. Yes.
The games are good too. Just so you know, the actual games are also good.
Yeah, you know, when I happen to stumble across one, I'm fine with how that's going.
Do you get marquee in New Jersey, Danny?
I don't know. Listen.
Amazing.
I got a lot of thoughts though.
It never stopped you before.
I got a lot of thoughts, and then I do want to talk about Shane. But Kyle Tucker, the discourse here. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. There's no precedent ever for a guy on a rental signing early, right? It's never happened.
Yeah, I can't think of something. It's happened, but
who?
I'm trying to think of like someone that is definitely headed towards big money, who would then sign away their rights to getting the big money.
I can't come up with anyone.
You mean an in-season rental?
I'm saying a player who is a year away from free agency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who is playing 1 year with a team and then signing with that team early. It's such an unreasonable ask.
Hold on. I don't agree with that because
this is the fight we've been having on the show.
Well, but hold on.
Because the Cubs should want to pay him, and correct. The Cubs should try to win.
But hold on,
the bidding. Correct. The idea that he would sign early is hard for me to imagine.
Well, are you correct. Talking only MLB?
Yes.
Okay, because the NBA and the NFL is full of examples where a guy's got 1 year left on the deal, and that's when a trade happens, and he signs the extension with the new team. It happens all the time.
Oh
right?
No, but the deals are capped in basketball. Mm-hmm. Luka can sign a deal, a max deal that is the same deal that the Lakers could offer him, that the Rockets could offer him, that the Knicks could offer them. The only team that could sign Luka to a longer, more lucrative deal would have been Dallas, his current team. That's what the bird rights were. Like, in baseball, as you well know, it's an open market. So the thing that drives the most money is the most people bidding on your services. Football contracts, while not as slotted in free agency, like, I can probably tell you within $1 million or two what Micah Parsons is going to sign with, because you just go to the Myles Garrett deal, you add 2-5%, and that's the contract. You know, like, it's there's not in those sports, like if Juan Soto would have been traded and then signed before hitting free agency, that would be a comp for this. Like Vlad Guerrero, he's been with Toronto for forever.
Mm-hmm.
He's what, 30 years old? He's done all of his arb years. He got traded. He is 4 months away from 20 billionaires calling his agent and inquiring on a price. The idea that like Wrigley Field magic is going to make him give that up.
He's 28.
That he's going to give that up 4 months early, it is such an unreasonable ask of a human being that none of us would do or advise our son or friend to do. Like, sign as a Cub if you want to, for sure, and I hope they pay him. Like, lefty power, man, it's basically the most valuable thing in the sport. He's awesome, but sign early, that just feels like wasted breath. Like I can't, unless you can say it happened with Bryce Harper or it happened with Juan Soto or it happened with.
Well, there are some people making the argument that it happened with Mookie Betts. And I would say the difference is, and this is one of my issues with the thing with Tucker. If they were going to do it, they should have done it upon getting the trade done.
Did Betts play?
Betts played, and yeah. Then he was
final year of the deal,
right?
But I'm saying, when did he sign?
He signed in February, which is what I'm saying. Like, if you were going to get a deal done with Kyle Tucker
before the season,
then that deal needed to be done right after the trade, and you need to wow him and go, "Hey, man, we're all in. Here's $400 million right now."
Okay, and listen, if Mookie Betts is the answer, and then there's your precedent. Okay, great.
No, but Danny, I think that you're right is once you let him get into the season, it's too late.
The money's going up. It's going up every time. So let me get this straight. So the wasted breath thing. So you wouldn't be, if you were here, you wouldn't be advocating for fans to do whatever they can, for us as talk show hosts to do whatever we can, Operation Woo Kyle Tucker. Because I'm the chairman of Operation Woo Kyle Tucker, and I feel like you're telling me my breath is wasted. And I'm it's bringing up a lot of issues from our time together, frankly.
Listen, you know I love a stunt, Speaks.
I know you do.
Like Omar Infante was going to get those all-star votes, but I still attached myself to it to make people think that it was my doing.
Right. You'd be all over Operation Woo Kyle Tucker. Don't pretend you wouldn't be, sir.
But of course. But I wouldn't be setting up the expectation. Like, he might sign in June. I would want, when he signs in the offseason, him to say, "I felt the love from Cubs fans all year, hashtag woo Kyle Tucker." Like, you know what I mean? Like, the goal would be that he shouts you out on the back end, not that it's actually possible that it happens before an in-season series with the Diamondbacks.
I'll look for more precedent for this conversation, because one.
I think it matters a ton in the sport. But listen, not to hijack the situation, but I just wanted to say I love Shane so much, and I, you know, he was my guy. He was all of our guys, but I wanted him to be the EP, and you called him
most unique profile of any executive producer I can think of. Yeah.
I mean, he booked Ice Cube on the fly for a mock draft to do the Raiders pick. And then he would miss an hour of the show to make us steak. And then, it was just, it was so insane. You know, and then a baseball player would threaten to sue us. And then we would get called into an office. But then, you know, businesses and world-renowned chefs would line up to host us in the city. And, NFL players would say how much they like him. Kyle Long and Manley and Wani. And, I love the dude, and I think he will crush in this industry if that's what he wants to do. I talked to him yesterday. Maybe he does the Shane's food truck that I've said that Wani should fund. He's probably going to ask me to fund it, but Wani can fund that. But, you know, I'll be customer number one, but I have so many stories and memories, and he's been so kind to my family, and him and Brad became texting friends, and he's just a creative, talented, interesting, multifaceted, complicated, hilarious pain in the ass. I love him so much. And so, you know, I just shout out to Shane, you know, member of the mob forever. And I love that dude.
Good stuff, Danny. I'm glad you got a chance to say it. It's a tough thing for everybody all around, without a doubt.
So, Danny, every couple weeks we'll check in with you, right?
Yeah, whenever you guys want, really. I mean, as much or as little as you want, hopefully at least every couple of weeks, that'd be great. But I'm here, man. I'm available.
By the way, Mookie Betts signed his extension in July of his first season in L.A., so there's your direct corollary.
Okay.
A 12-year, $300-plus million deal signed with the Dodgers in July of his first season after being traded for Alex Verdugo and a lot more.
So he was a month and a half away from free agency.
Correct.
Okay. So
two and a half months away.
There's your comp.
Yep.
There's your, all right. And again, if the answer is there's one comp, the rational thought provider in me speaks would say you're arguing the exception rather than the rule.
And I would add that that is the one place where you knew you were going to get every dollar. Like, that's the one place where you don't have to go shop it.
Yeah.
Because the place that's going to pay you the most money is the place where you're sitting at, which the Cubs, which the Cubs should be.
This is the moment, Lawrence. Lawrence has been saying, bully them hoes. This is your moment to offer him $550 in June or July and just get the deal done. I bet he takes $550 in June or July.
$550 is a very big number.
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah, that's a lot of zeros.
They got to go to $500 to get it done, and I think they might take $550, and this is their moment to do it.
God, they could have had Bryce Harper for $200 million less than that.
How about that? And he wanted to be here.
He didn't, and they didn't engage.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, price of the brick goes up. Like, that's right.
That's right, Fat Joe.
But this is a different moment.
$100 million.
That was a moment where you Darvish money looked bad, and like,
I know, so
it was a different moment. Well, do it now.
And am I right? The Cubs have never signed anyone for more than $200 million.
Right. It's
Jason Hayward is the biggest deal in the history. Yeah, that's the biggest deal in the history of the franchise.
That's a big jump to $550 million.
It's time. Step up.
You might be right about that. We'll see. Danny, this was delightful. Thank you very much. We appreciate your words about Shane.
Oh, of course, man. Any talk Shane any day. And Alex Kuhn, love those headphones. Where can I get a copy?
Thanks again, Danny.
No problem.
Shane replacement.
It's the same color as the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon shirt that I got from last year.
Yeah, so it still fits, right?
Yeah, it does. I wear it all the time.
Awesome.
Look at you make fun of a guy when he's trying to do synergy. Good job, Danny.
All right, well... I haven't changed. See you guys.
That's Danny Parkins. Watch him on Breakfast Ball every morning on FS1. And he's going to check in with us every couple of weeks or so before the Radiothon, which is coming up July 31st. We will have Danny taking over the radio station for a 24-hour period.
Real quick, for what it's worth, the Mookie Betts contract, that was the COVID year. He had signed it before the season began. So that's a little wrinkle to that.
That's what I'm saying. He signed it in February, and then was talking about signing in February, and then the season didn't begin until July. And that's why it looks like it looks, and it's not quite the same thing.
Got it. Noted. Whatever. Clearly.
This is just like the Colston-Loveland thing.
Whatever. Opinions have been noted and discarded,
yep.
And they will only be paid more attention to once I admit I'm wrong. Does not happen. Actually, it happens a lot. I'm comfortable admitting I'm wrong. I think it does, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I'm comfortable with it.
Let's get Danny back on the line and get his...
Danny, that's a number four.
I'm right here. Classic four. I was just getting ready to text you. I was screaming. I was like, he always admits when he's wrong.
Whatever.
Yeah, maybe over lunch, like a day or two later.
I do it in a side studio during a heartfelt conversation. You know that.
Oh, I do miss those. I do. Should we get some steps in during this heart-to-heart?
Get some steps in being way too close in those little studios when he's trying to tell you stuff.
Those are so good.
You know it. Classic number eight.
love a good eight.
God, why are we doing this? This is a terrible idea.
Yeah. You know what I figured out, Danny?
What's that?
It was always him. It was always him.
Olin said it.
You and I.
Yeah.
It's always him.
Oh, no. I know that. I know
that's
that.
That's what it is.
Oh, but what are you, in my therapy sessions? Doctor. At first, I had this partner was a problem. Then I had this partner. Wait a minute. I'm the commonality here.
The inverse of the scene in Good Will Hunting. It is your fault.
Matt, it's your fault.
It's your fault.
Shut up, Sean. Matt.
All I know is the Parkins at Home show is going to be awesome.
Yeah, for 2 weeks. Yeah. For 2 weeks.
Alex can produce it with his fancy blue headphones. Yeah.
God, imagine Tanny. That would be incredible. All right. Well, we'll see you guys soon.
All right. Thanks, Danny.
See you, buddy.
That's Danny Parkins. Right, Watch him on Breakfast Ball on FS1.
Hang up now, Danny. Make sure you disconnect.
I'm glad that he stuck around. That was a nice tip-in by him.
I don't think so. That didn't go well.
I thought it turned out great.
Of course you did.
When we come back, there's some interesting stuff going on with the Bears offensive line and how it could be configured. And maybe we're seeing someone move on the idea of movement. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with the Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
Darnell Wright possibly moving from the right side to the left side. And if that... You're what? I didn't even ask a question yet. What aren't you buying?
Yeah, but I don't see any way Darnell Wright's going to left tackle. I don't.
So that's just something they threw out there that they're not considering.
They didn't throw it. They were asked, and they were like, "Well, yeah, you could." Like, it wasn't something that they threw out there. I don't view Darnell Wright as a left tackle possibility
so
for them.
Maybe
I'm wrong.
Oh, he did open the door there, didn't he? I forgot that. When Ben Johnson talked about, and Ryan Poles, excuse me, talked about Darnell Wright being, a guy who played left tackle in college, and it's on the table that he could move to left tackle. You and I were very intrigued, had good discussion about it, and the next morning Brad Biggs poo-pooed it, but did end with, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that continued in the piece that he wrote today where Biggsy went over the NFC North and kind of went through the picks that were made inside of it. And I thought it was interesting, him writing a couple of paragraphs on Ozzie Trapillo, where he says, Ozzie Trapillo became only the second offensive tackle the Chicago Bears have selected in the first two rounds since they missed on Gabe Kareemi in the first round of 2011, and they're hoping he figures into the starting equation sooner rather than later. I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But then he went on to say, Trapillo played mostly right tackle at Boston College, and that's probably where the Bears will look at him first. A spot could become available if Darnell Wright, drafted in the first round in 2023, gets a look on the left side.
Well, so that's Big Z allowing for the possibility of it. How did that register to you to read that?
I wonder, after the draft was over and after, because, Brad does a lot of homework and talks with a ton of people. Mm-hmm. If there were people saying to him, this guy right here, he could end up being their starting right tackle. So what do you do with an athletic talent like Darnell Wright? And maybe that his opinion is still forming. So that's how I was like, oh, because I remembered the soundbite. And after reading it, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that means that there is more to the idea of Darnell Wright moving to the left side than him staying on the right.
It's a really interesting thing. We haven't talked a lot about this draft pick yet. You and I haven't had a chance to dig into it. And this is a fascinating one because is he a right tackle? Is he a left tackle? Are you drafting a guy to be a swing? But do you do that in the second round? You draft a swing tackle. How seriously do they take Kieran Amagaji as an option? Is Braxton Jones given a full chance? All of that. So we'll have plenty of time to dig in on that. And there's something I mentioned about Amagaji yesterday that I can share a little more on at some point. Moron. No, not a little moron. That's not a person who's like standing over there. I'm not pointing at you, Alex Kuhn, or anything. A little
Alex
more.
Alex is way taller than you.
I know, but
way
look how
taller
low,
than
look
you.
Look how low his chair is.
It is.
That's distressing.
That's per my contract. I have to.
Are you calling me a little
me.
Moron because my headphones?
No.
He said Danny called them child headphones.
Yeah,
so
that's right. You got the child headphones and the short chair as per Tanny's contract.
As in support of you tomorrow, I'll. You know what? I have them in my locker. I should go trade. Change into my red headphones so that we can both be
oh god look at that
colorful.
You're I mean bonding. I could just use the red ones. Is that better?
I want to match
Alex.
I want to match
Lawrence
the energy.
Is offering you his offering dungeon headphones.
Wow. Well, he doesn't know about the dungeon.
Okay, now I get it.
Just wash them first, okay?
Yes.
Make sure you wash
very
them.
Very important.
Dip them in antiseptic, okay? But no, Lawrence is offering you support by wearing his colored headphones.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
You get it? All right, good. Finally.
All right, so back to Ozzie Petrillo.
Ozzie Trapillo. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The Petrillo Bandshell.
The Ozzie Trapillo. We're going to call him Bandshell. That's his
the Ozzie Zampillo Bandshell.
God, he must be a descendant of the Bandshell. Actually, I know a guy who's a Petrillo descendant. Petrillo, apparently, a great head of the Musicians Union in the history of Chicago. That's who Petrillo was. Like a
they
legendary.
Were car dealers.
Yeah, no. Maybe they are too. I don't know. There's a lot to sort through. But Bill O'Brien was on The Morning Show, and that is a hell of a book by Dustino and The Morning Show. Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College, former head coach of the Houston Texans, former offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. And there's obviously a lot of wisdom and intelligence there. And he is the head coach, obviously, of Ozzie Trapillo last year and that entire offense. And I thought it was fascinating when he was asked by Ruthie Polinsky and David Haw about whether Ozzie Trapillo is a swing tackle, if he's a right, a left, or whatever.
He definitely is a swing tackle. He played a little bit of left tackle before I got here. We played him at right tackle. We had a left tackle, young guy named Jude Bowery, who will be coming out next year probably. He was a left-handed guy, a little bit more comfortable on the left side. Ozzie's a great teammate. Ozzie said, I'll play right tackle. But Ozzie has played left tackle, so I don't think there's any doubt that that he'll be able to, you know, do both. I'm not too sure about the Bears depth chart and all that, but I definitely think that Ozzie can play on both sides. He did that in practice a lot, and he did that in games, like I said, before I came to BC.
Where is he better equipped to play, or does it matter?
I think that's a great question. When I was in Houston, we talked about that a lot as the years went by. We felt like both tackles, right and left, you know, had to have tremendous skill sets because, you know, they're both having to block great defensive ends and most teams coming off of both edges. Now, the left tackle obviously has to, you know, protect the blind side of a right-handed quarterback, but, you know, I think that Ozzie, his ability to, you know, get in a right-handed stance, get in a left-handed stance, his experience in playing both in the past, I think will really help him. He can do both. He's very athletic for a guy his size. You know, I compare him to some of the guys that we had, like in New England, Nate Solder, Sebastian Vollmer, very athletic, 6'8" guy that can, you know, pull. He can, like I said, run block. He can pass protect, and I think he can do it on both sides. So I think he's a guy that'll fit in well wherever they decide to start him off at.
How about that value from Bill O'Brien just to be able to pull out those NFL comps from guys that he coached himself? But Lawrence, what do you think about that? He only moved from left to right to accommodate a kid who could only play left.
I think that that's great. It shows him to be a great teammate where he may have sacrificed draft position because he was playing right tackle instead of perfecting his craft at left tackle. And there are still some places where people think left tackle is more valuable. I think we're kind of in a space in the NFL now where, depending on what your offense is doing, it might not matter. Like, for example, not that not that they didn't have a very strong left tackle, but look at what Ben Johnson had. He might have had his most athletic player playing right tackle.
And that's going to be interesting to think about in terms of where he wants Darnell if he falls in love with Darnell moving forward. But to your point, I think my default when I hear that a college kid was moved from left tackle to right tackle is that it was a demotion, at least on some level still.
Well, then you should look at it this way. If you look at it as a demotion.
No, because this wasn't a demotion.
Right. And even if you wanted to look at it as a demotion, you could go, well, he didn't transfer because he could have. If that was one of the things that he wanted to do and felt like he was being punished by being moved over to right tackle, then he could have walked from the program, and he didn't do that. So I think all of those things are feathers in his cap, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. Now, here's what I thought was interesting, because listening to him talk about, he's a big dude, 6'8", 315.
It's a house.
Right? Here's what he said about the disadvantages and advantages of being tall at that position.
Yeah. No, it definitely has its pros and cons. I think the most obvious con is I'm a taller guy. People are, you know, I'm more susceptible to have people get under my pads. So it makes me, you know, have to fight harder to maintain good pad level, maintain good posture, balance, all that, which is something that I really focus my game on. Now it has its pros as well. Being a taller guy, you're able to keep people away, you know, being just bigger. You know, you're naturally going to be stronger, be able to carry more weight on you. So the normal pros and cons.
So I'll tell you what that does is it scares me about defensive ends with good bend. You know, either decently tall guys with real good bend who get lower or straight up shorter, fast guys. I've always had a thing for short pass rushers, the Dwight Freeney's of the world.
I mean, Dwight Freeney and his spin move and the way that he would get underneath the tackle's pads.
The Elvis Dumervilles of the world. Even Robert Mathis on the other side of Dwight Freeney, you know? But like short pass rushers, they can do some damage, especially against a big old tall tackle like this kid.
Now, the Bears this weekend said that they have full confidence that Dan Roschar is going to help with the bend issue for Trapillo. And this is why I meant, like, when we were talking yesterday about the idea that everyone kind of got their guy, like the whole coaching staff got their guy, and they were like, oh, well, you can work with this guy, right? Like, yes, he's got all the stuff. I'll get him to where he needs to be. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm leaning toward it being good because you wanted a different set of eyes on this process for the Bears, and now you got it.
Hey, man, I lean towards it being good because you got a real good head coach who assembled a staff he's thrilled with and proud of, and a staff that's getting talked about around the NFL as being really competent and diverse, and now you're letting them be involved in picking the guys that they themselves have to mold. Here's Ozzie Trapillo talking about the violence in his game as a tackle.
Ozzie, your teammate Shamar Turner was talking about why he plays with violence on the defensive line position. What does playing with violence look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, being an offensive lineman, you definitely have to play with violence. I think it's a type of violence that is, you know, poised and under control. You never want to, you know, throw your hands too hard, get off balance, because then, you know, you're gonna fall on your face. So it's more of an under control violence, I would say, just playing nasty. I would say that's really the epitome of line play. I think the best linemen are the ones who play violent, but they also play under control with discipline and good technique while doing it.
Ozzie Trapillo, I love his band shell.
I also think that he's a really interesting guy to listen to talk about the game, and I like that juxtaposition between him and Turner about the violence, because they're both kind of saying the same thing, but in a very different way. We'll take a break. When we come back, an age-old argument here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
Sean Moore was saying that you have a very strong opinion on LeBron versus Michael Jordan. Being we're in Chicago, I have to ask you what it is.
Yeah. Next question. No. Both great players.
What is he, 20? He doesn't know. He wasn't here.
But he still played it right.
when he you played think, it exactly right.
That when you think back historically to how poorly this has been played by Mitch Trubisky,
who's from Ohio, so I can't get on him for that.
It doesn't matter. Red flags. We should have known it then when Danny asked Mitch and Mitch bungled it. That man didn't know where he was and what he was doing. No wonder
Jordan
he wanted
LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Dude.
Can I say that?
Can I say that? No, you can't. Mitch, read the room. I almost lost it right there. Taking out a lot of aggression.
Don't lose it. James Palmer is going to join us in the next segment. He did an incredible breakdown on Luther Burden. And he's got even more information that we didn't share with you yesterday. So don't go anywhere. You want to know about the Bears' new wide receiver? Stay tuned. It's Spiegel and Holmes here with you on The Score.